But if the good news is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, meaning those that are outside of Christ. It says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the good news, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone. Today on Love Never Fails, we continue Pastor Bill's study from the New Testament epistle of Ephesians. Pastor has titled today's message, The Empty Walk. Now, let's join the study.
Turn in your Bibles with me this morning and let me read, starting in Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 17. It says this, Ephesians 4:17, Paul the Apostle says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness." Just one more verse. Well, let me finish it. "But you," that's us, "have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that you put off your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." This morning, we're only going to cover two verses. Powerful verses. I want to talk to you this morning about life without Christ, okay? Meaning, everybody is on a journey. Every person on earth, they are walking someplace. You either have an empty walk, and the reason that you do is because you are without Christ. So, listen, we've learned our doctrinal position. We have chapters 1, 2, and 3. We've nailed those things down. Now, as we enter in this section, all the way from, here until chapter 6, verse 9, we're going to be looking and learning how to walk worthy of our calling. And remember, to walk worthy of our calling, that word means is a picture of a set of scales. It means to be equal, or balanced, rather, equal in doctrine, chapters 1, 2, and 3, and equal in application. Chapters 4, 5, 6. So you know the truth, but you also have to do the truth. You hear the word, but you have to do the word. If you don't, you're not balanced in your walk. So with all of that being said this morning, a Christian, and that's who I am, and that's who you are. A Christian is not a person that woke up one morning and said, "You know what? I think it's time for me to get my act together. I think I'm going to go down to the bookstore, a Christian bookstore, buy a Bible. I'm going to go find a church." That's not how it happens. You don't just wake up one morning and say, "You know what? I'm a Christian. I love the Lord, and I'm going to live a good life, a moral life." No. That's not how it works. See, a Christian is a new person, a new creation, one who has never, ever existed before. Matter of fact, we have a new nature because we're born from above. We're partakers of the divine nature of God himself. Now, listen carefully, Christian. We don't walk like the world. The reason? Because we're not of this world, nor are we being conformed to this world, nor do we love the world, no, and we certainly don't trust the world, this entire planet that we live on, which was brought to its knees in less than 60 days by the coronavirus. No, we don't trust this world at all. What we do is we learn our walk. We learn how to walk with Christ. We walk in love. We walk in light. We walk in wisdom. Before us, these two verses, they're the most horrific description of a person without Jesus Christ in all of Scripture. It is heartbreaking. Thank God, thank God, thank God that we are saved, because that's what those two verses is what we used to be, and we're not that any longer. We are saved. In other words, we don't have a person without Christ has nothing but an empty walk and an empty life. They don't know that, but they certainly don't have the fullness of life like we do. See, we are full if you're a believer. The Bible says, thanks be unto God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. We are overflowing with the blessings of God. Lloyd Martin says this, or Lloyd Jones rather says this about the scriptures we're going to cover this morning. It says, in these two verses, we find the most masterly description of life without Christ that has ever been encountered. This morning, let's look at the empty walk beginning in verse 17. Paul starts out and he says, this I say. Remember, we left off that we are gifts of God and that we've been given a divine supernatural gift of God. We're all gifts connected one to another in the body of Christ. So he says, this I say, therefore, and look at this strong, strong word. He says, and I testify in the Lord. When Paul does that, he is now, it's intense. He is using his apostolic authority, okay? So let me read it again. And with that in mind, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you, the believer, the Christian, the spirit-filled, blood-bought, purchased Christian of God, that you should no longer walk or you should no longer live as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Now, the word Gentile means they're not a Jew, okay? The church at Ephesus was a Gentile church. But the word Gentile here, as it does everywhere, represents those who are outside of Christ, meaning that they don't know the Lord, okay? So we're dealing with the lost people. That's why Paul says, don't walk like the rest of the Gentiles walk. He says, no, don't do that. So therefore and walk, what does it do? It takes us right back to chapter 4, verse 1, where Paul says for us to walk worthy of our calling. He says, don't live like that. J.B. Phillips' translation says it this way, do not live as the Gentiles live, for they live blindfold in a world of illusion. Now, when Paul says don't live like those other people, the lost, those that are empty, listen, he's not demeaning the lost. Paul loves people. He was the one, he's the greatest soul winner in the entire New Testament, except for our Lord Jesus Christ. He's simply sharing an eternal truth with us, and of course, the church there at Ephesus as well. You know, the Christians, we know the word of God. We're commanded not only to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but to love our neighbor as ourselves. So Paul's not demeaning the lost at all. Loved one, listen, God loves lost people. God loves empty, lost people. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible teaches us, as it continues in John's gospel that I just quoted from, in verse 17, it says that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. 2 Peter 3:9, God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God loves the lost. However, either God's word is correct or the world is correct. Both of them cannot be correct. God's word is always correct. It says in 1 Peter 1:25, for the word of God endures forever and ever and ever and ever. Verse 17 again, that you should no longer walk, it says, as the rest are like the Gentiles walk. Why? Because Christian, listen, They are no longer, back then they said they were pagans. They're no longer pagans. They're not really even Gentiles anymore. There's no Jew. There's no slave. There's no male. We're all one in Christ Jesus, okay? No, in other words, we're not lost and we can't walk like them. This is a perfect example right here, this verse, of understanding or knowing doctrine. We are not pagans. We're not Gentiles. We know who we are in Christ Jesus. If you look back at chapter 2, verse 19, Paul says, you're no longer strangers. You're no longer foreigners. But here's who you are. This is who we are. Your fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So again, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk, those unbelievers in the futility of your mind. Man, that word futility, you know what it means? It means emptiness. The emptiness of the mind. That's an empty walk. The empty walk of the lost is empty because of their minds. Their minds are literally empty. It doesn't mean they're not smart. It doesn't mean they're not intelligent. But it means, when you say futility, it means life doesn't really have a purpose. Life doesn't really have a real meaning. Why? Because life without Jesus Christ is an empty life. It is an empty existence. And if you are lost this morning, listen, God loves you. Don't turn me off. I love you, but you know what? You're clueless. And I'm not saying that to berate you or beat you up, but you are clueless because, see, you believe that all that you have to do is find happiness or find peace or success in the world. But see, what the end result of all that, in the finality of it, will be nothing more than disappointment. And then finally, death. Listen, lost people are empty people. And this life, all that it promises you, all that it promised me, will give you absolutely nothing in the end. We live in a world that loves empty people because it's filled with empty things. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world. Do not love the things in the world. See, things, empty things, things that they just don't, they'll never help us. Oh, it's nice to have things. Nothing wrong with having things, but they'll never really get us where we need to go. It says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all, not a few things, but all that is in the world, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from or of the Father, but it is of this world system that is anti-God and anti-Christ. Listen, the world that we live in, that no one has control over, that no one knows what to do about, this world that we live in is passing away. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever. Oh, listen, I'm so thankful that we, the believer, we're not empty. We used to be empty. But you know what? We have now been redeemed from an empty, useless life. Man, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, from your aimless conduct. Aimless conduct, or your empty conduct. But with the precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb without spot and blemish, we were redeemed. Listen, what does that mean? It means that each believer, we have been redeemed from a life on this earth, a life of being empty. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter how poor you are. It doesn't matter how well educated you are. Every person that comes into this life, every person that is born empty. Why? Because they are in Adam. And in Adam, the only thing that Adam can give anyone is death. By him, death came, and by him, sin came. Now listen, the empty life, think about it, that futility of mind and all of it. Man, listen, a person that doesn't know Christ, a person without Christ, their minds are empty. Their hearts are empty. It doesn't mean they're not pay their taxes and do good in life and treat others with respect. But they're empty. They're in Adam. They are empty. They have empty hearts. Their life is empty. And unless they are born again, unless a person is born from above, he will remain in emptiness for all eternity and all of life upon this planet. See, do you know why lost people are empty people? It's because of what their mind. Listen to what Scripture says, 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man, meaning those that are in Adam, okay, those that are without Christ, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, and the reason, because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, the natural man, those that are in Adam. They are empty, okay? Listen, lost people, lost empty people. Do you know what? You'd be sitting on your couch right now. Or if, when the church is open, you could even be sitting right here and attend church. And everything that comes out of the Word of God you hear, it might seem like it's all foolishness to you. Why? It's because, see, if you're not born from above, you can't really receive the things of God. You can't welcome them into your heart. And, you know, you can only welcome the things of the world into your heart because the Word of God is foolishness to you. You know, that's why you might have said, well, you know what, I tried to read the Bible, but I just couldn't get it. That's because it just doesn't make sense to those that are still in Adam. You have to get out of Adam and get into Christ. Now, you know, the empty walk of the lost, the reason it's an empty walk is their mind is empty of the things of God, the Word of God. Again, has nothing to do with intelligence. Man, there's a lot of smart people, intelligent, brilliant people in this world. But the mind here is speaking about the total person or the total personality of that individual. If you don't have God, God's Word, in your mind, it's impossible to have God in your actions. Why? You're empty. You need God. You need Jesus to be in your heart. You have an empty walk in your life. Now look at the next one. Having their understanding darkened. Let me give you a Greek scholar's translation of that. The scholar says, this translation reads, those who have been permanently blinded with respect to the mind. So having their understanding, look at that word, darkened. That is the empty walk of every person who is without Jesus Christ, their Lord. Now listen, they don't know. If you're lost, I love you, but listen to me. You don't know that you're in darkness. You don't know that. You don't know that you live in darkness. Another thing is, you don't know and believe and realize that darkness is in you. Yeah. See, you're empty. That's what happens when you're in Adam, and in Adam all die, in Christ all shall be made alive. See, if you are having an empty walk in this world, you're lost, your understanding is all that is darkened, that means that you don't know this. One day, this church, the real church, the true church in the world, is going to be caught away. We use the word, we're going to be raptured suddenly in the twinkling of an eye. Man, we're going to disappear from this planet. It might happen today. It might happen tonight. But loved one, it will happen. God doesn't lie. He cannot lie. And here's the problem. You don't know that. And you know what? You don't know what the entire world is going to face. Look at our world right now. The entire world, over one thing, the coronavirus, it's destroyed our economy. It's killed people all over the world. It's brought this nation, it's brought every nation on earth, filled it with fear, brought it to its knees, and everybody's clamoring. If they just could find one person who could get us out of this mess, who could restore the economy, who could kill this virus, if they could just find one person, they'd follow him. Why? Because the world, see, all of this is happening. Listen, history is his story. It's not man's. We are going toward the end. We are living in the last days. This world, right this minute, is ripe for the man of sin to appear. But you don't know that. And once the church is all called away, loved one, listen to me now. The great tribulation period is going to begin. Oh, God, it's going to be the worst. There has never been a time like this that's coming upon this planet. Men's hearts are going to fail them for fear. They will beg to die, but they can't die because death is going to take a holiday, loved one. And matter of fact, those darkened minds, you know what's going to happen in the tribulation period when the wrath of God is being poured out? You should read the Bible about the fifth bold judgment that is poured out in Revelation 16:10. It says that darkness, that the angels, whenever they poured out the bowl, it says the kingdom of Satan, the Antichrist, became full of darkness. Why? Well, their minds are dark anyway. God doesn't want a dark mind. It says full of darkness. And you know what they did? They gnawed their tongues because of the darkness. That means that this darkness was so supernaturally dark that it caused pain. See, if the lost, if you're lost, dear God, you're walking in emptiness and you don't know that. And you know what else you don't know? Like the Lord said, he said, you know, in John 3:19, he says, oh, you know, this is condemnation. This is the judgment from God. This is condemnation. He said that the light has come, meaning Jesus Christ. The light has come. The only true light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The empty walk of those outside of Christ. Those two verses, loved one, you should be shouting right now, Christian, because that's what we have been delivered from. The empty walk of the lost. They don't know that they love darkness. I didn't know that I love darkness. And the reason I didn't know is because my understanding was darkened. I didn't know that I was finding joy in darkness. I didn't know that. How would I have known? And I unknowingly embraced darkness because I didn't know it was dark. I just was doing my own thing. This darkness is so powerful, loved one. It is so powerful that those who never get out of that darkness will spend eternity in outer darkness. Jesus said in Matthew 18:12, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, hell is a subject that the church, few speak about it today, and I have no joy speaking about it, but I will not deny the reality of Scripture. There's no clock in hell that says, man, I finally served my sentence. There's not a door to say, okay, I've been punished enough or whatever is going to happen there. No, all I know is that hell is forever. It's a place that's forever in outer darkness, and God doesn't want anyone to go there. The Bible teaches in Matthew's gospel that hell was not created for man. It was created for the devil. It was created for the angels. God wants to save every person, having their understanding darkened. Now listen, a dark mind, if you're lost, you don't know you have a dark mind. And a dark mind, loved one, is just, it's empty of what's right or wrong, really. I mean, you have a sense of that, but you're empty of true discernment. And as you go through life, a dark mind can only do one thing. You can only experiment with life because you don't know what life is. You didn't know that God had a plan for you and a purpose for you and so forth. And you know what? A dark mind doesn't know about the power of darkness. It's powerful. Let me give you the scripture. Colossians 1:13, it talks about how Jesus has delivered us, thank God, from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Listen, darkness is power. And you know what? If your understanding is darkened, if your mind is empty of the things of God, then loved one, listen, here's the thing that happens. See, you don't know you're in darkness. You don't know your mind is empty of the things of God. And here's what Satan does. He makes darkness, because he is dark. He makes it look like light. He makes it look like a great thing. Listen, a dark mind is an empty mind. Why? Because it doesn't know that true light is available for them. Paul, when he was speaking to King Agrippa in Acts chapter 27, telling him about Jesus, how Jesus saved him on the road to Damascus, filled him with the Spirit and all of that, and called him to preach the good news. He said this. He said, listen, King Agrippa, he's called me, and here's the reason, to open their eyes, meaning everybody, all mankind, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, and the reason that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Listen to me. If you do not have Christ, you're empty. You're empty right this minute. And you know what? You will never, never treat darkness as something that is strange. Never, because you don't know it.
Well, that's all of our time for today, but there is so much more to this message. So please join us tomorrow to hear the remainder of The Empty Walk. Thank you for listening with us today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.